Everyone grab out your notebooks. We have someone that's kind of all right that's coming up to speak. At least I think he's okay. So I married him. Make sure you grab out your notebooks because I have seen the amount of scriptures this guy has and there is a lot. So make sure you're ready to write down quickly. What he's got to say is pretty good. So welcome him up, guys.
Testing. Thanks, hon. Keitha asked me just before if I wanted a handheld mic or if I wanted to be cool like Andy, so obviously I'm going to be cool like Andy tonight. Oh, how are we, guys? Are we well?
Yes.
Doing all right? Another Wednesday, done and dusted. It's a busy season, right? With a lot of you are working full-time or you're studying full-time or you're doing both full-time. And we're balancing life, we're balancing family commitments, relationships. And I don't know, I can get to a Wednesday and I'm just knackered. Anyone else feeling it tonight? And I find it funny that as young kids, it's the most exciting thing ever when your bedtime gets extended. Like if you get to stay up late for something or if it's your 8th birthday and mum and dad would be like, all right, you can now stay up to 7:30 instead of 7. And it is just like, all this extra time for activities. Like, what am I going to do with it all? And you get to your teenage years and eventually you kind of surpass your parents and your time kind of comes your own. You can stay up late studying or you can stay up late, hanging out with friends or whatever. And then you hit your 20s and you're like, oh my goodness, can we just bring back 8 p.m. bedtimes? Anyone else feeling that? Yeah. So I acknowledge that quite a few of you are probably staying out later than the ideal bedtime tonight to come and be here. So I just want to say thanks for that. During COVID, my family and I, we lived up in Kinglake. And if you're not sure where that is, it's about just over an hour from here. It's out, Lilydale and Yarra Glen and then up the hill. It's a lovely spot, and we had each other as a family, but I think one thing we definitely noticed was how isolated it was up there. And kind of coming to the end of lockdowns, my sister and I, we were very much longing for community, I think. So about 2.5 years ago, we moved a bit closer, and we came through the doors on a Wednesday night, just like this, through the double doors down there. I was the nervous newbies, trying to meet a few people. And 2.5 years later, I can sincerely say that you guys are my closest friends. So I think we were just initially very overwhelmed by the sense of community that exists here. So I want to just say thank you for being intentional, thank you for being devoted and for taking the time to be here and pour into this community to make it as special as it is. Because it takes all of you and it really is special. All right, now without further ado, this message has been on my heart for a while. And I put a lot of thought and I want to speak on tonight. And I'm going to be looking at my notes quite a bit because it isn't the kind of message that I want to get distracted on tangents or kind of winging it. There's a bit of scripture I want to get through, so I'm going to move it at a bit of a steady pace because I want to allow the only words that are alive and active and working and powerful to transform us and to judge our thoughts, judge our attitudes and mold our hearts. I'm going to move quick. I will make all of these notes available if you'd like to, if that helps you with your note-taking afterwards. So the title of this message is, ready for it? Beware of Chicken Nuggets. And there we go. My wife's a graphic designer, and AI has changed her world, and she loves it. So I might taint them forever for you, so if you do love them, I'm sorry. But I want to start this evening with a shout-out. Have you met my sister, Talia? Have you guys met my sister, Talia? She is, if you haven't met her yet, go and find her tonight and say hello. She is kind, she's caring, she's funny. She's very gifted at walking alongside people, and she has a beautiful heart, and I'm very blessed to have her as a sister. But she has a flaw. And it's a little weird. She is a terrible fisher because she loves fishing, but she hates fish. Once more for emphasis, She loves fishing, hates fish. And if you're a little confused, that would be understandable. So am I. I believe this phobia started with a bad fish foot spa experience as a 12-year-old. However, the interest in fishing started during a family holiday on the Murray. For the last couple of years, we've headed up to Madura for a week and we'd usually bring a couple of fishing rods to try our luck. My holiday one year was greatly interrupted by Talia's new hobby. It felt like every time I would sit down to read or relax or chat, there would be this squeal of excitement followed by a, "Someone help me!" Talia was just somehow catching fish after fish after fish, seemingly lured in by irresistible chicken nuggets. But under no circumstances could she touch the fish. So my job, as you can imagine, was to go in and perform a very careful surgery with this little yellow de-hooking device. And I would often need both hands to be able to free the fish from these hooks. So Tali would reluctantly go and put on the water ski gloves, which still smell like fish to this day. And so she could hold it steady while I got the hook out. And she would kind of hold it out like this. And she'd be like, "Oh, yuck, look at its head. That's so gross. Why is it looking at me like that? I don't like its eyes." Now I've lost myself. And every time that fish would do that little, like, squirmy shake thing to try and free itself, Tali would scream and drop the fish, which would take us back to the start and would often lodge the hook even deeper. Now, I tell you this story, one, because I wanted to roast my sister a little bit, but two, because I've been that fish. I've stumbled upon a seemingly harmless chicken nugget, something that looked good before, only to find a hook in it, and myself unable to escape. And guys, I want to be real and I want to be vulnerable with you tonight, as I know I'm not the only one that's fallen for a lie. One of many struggles, from 12 years old, I found myself completely enslaved to lust and pornography. It was the result of some of the saddest, some of the darkest, the most depressive moments of my life. I hated myself and often thought that I'd never be able to break the addiction. I tried everything in my own strength to escape, and I often thought of myself as just a disappointment to God. Now, have you ever noticed that whenever there's a sad, hopeless story in the Bible, it's often followed by the words, "but God"? I'll give a few examples. Acts 13, 29 to 30, when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. Jonah 2, 6, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Last one, Psalm 73, 26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Now one more here, but I want you to turn your Bibles and read along with me so we can be encouraged by the goodness of God together. Please, if you've got a Bible, if you've got your phone, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 7. They'll be on the screen too if you don't have a Bible or a phone. Now, Ephesians 2, 1 to 7 is a scripture. All right. Give another quick second. All right. Ephesians 2, 1 to 7. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Now my story is the same. I was dead in my sins and by nature deserving of wrath. But God, in his incredible kindness to me in Christ Jesus, demonstrated the wonders of his grace and completely set me free. I'm now walking in consistent victory, freed from the shame, condemnation, and the guilt that tormented me. God has taught me such a reliance and a dependence on him, having done a redemptive work on my heart that has changed my entire life. I don't tell you this to show you what I've accomplished. Not at all. I've accomplished nothing. But I tell you this to show how good and how loving and how merciful and how powerful our God is and what he has and can accomplish. If you're here tonight and if you're struggling with something, if you consistently find yourself victim to something that you just can't seem to shake, no matter what you do, you just can't get that hook out, then I'm really glad you're here, because I want you to know that there's hope and there's grace in abundance for you. I was so convicted, to be honest here, because the more men I chat to, the more I realize that no one escapes. I don't know a single man in our generation that isn't or hasn't struggled with lust and pornography, and I know it's not just a guy problem. Now, maybe it's not lust that you struggle with, but maybe it's pride or judgment, anger. Maybe it's language or alcohol. Maybe it's gossip, lying, envy, unbelief. Maybe it's unforgiveness or resentment. None of us are perfect, and we all need Jesus and his help in every way. Now, maybe it's something that's not explicitly sin, but perhaps a weakness or a vulnerability that the enemy just loves to poke at to keep you from all that God has for you. Maybe it's body image or self-doubt or condemnation or shame, anxiety. Maybe it's fear. Brothers and sisters, there is freedom in Christ. There's freedom in his words. There's a future in him and a healing for you there. So tonight I want to talk about breaking free from the cycle of habitual sin and the things the enemy loves to use to keep us bound and completely stagnant in our walk with Christ. Your story has a villain. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says that I have come. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Wouldn't be an LMC message without that verse. Now, perhaps you're in a season where you are walking in freedom and habitual sin isn't one of your struggles. However, please don't zone out. It's incredibly likely, thanks, Dan. In fact, almost certain that as a Christian, you will find people in prisons who need your help to break free and walk in the freedom that Christ Jesus has paid for us to receive as children of God. I'll be basing many examples tonight in my own testimony, but in a second, I'm going to pray for God to search and minister to each of our hearts individually. Please practice discernment. To apply God's truth to your own lives and areas of weakness, that we may find strength and dependence in his truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Thank you for allowing us not just to be in your house this evening together, God, but to know you. Please teach us, Lord. Teach us how to walk in the freedom you have given us in grace and live lives worthy of the calling. Lord, I pray that you would minister to each heart individually tonight and speak into each situation, revealing areas for growth in our lives. I pray that your mighty and powerful word would do a healing and redemptive work on any wounds and break any chains in this place. I pray that you would conform our lives to your word and teach us to live in total obedience, trusting not in self, but in you. Amen. Just going to take a quick drink break. Now, I want to be real for a second, because too often I see people who have been Christian for years struggling in the same cycles of defeat. Obtaining victory over struggle for maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe 6 months, only for the cycle to repeat over and over and over. I speak no condemnation. I've been in that very cycle. This is why you can be a Christian for years and years and yet still be bound by the same sins and forever confused, because you keep singing that the chains are broken and reading that Christ has set you free, yet you remain stuck. Why does this happen? Why do we stay stuck? The same reason that Adam and Eve fell from Eden, because they wanted to do it their own way instead of God's. They'd rather trust in themselves. As I was studying and praying for this message tonight, the Lord strongly brought Galatians 3:3 to my mind, which confused me a little initially, as I hadn't ever thought that this verse could be applied in this way. In the lead up to this verse, Paul is giving the church in Galatia an incredibly stern rebuke, urging the Galatians to cling only to the gospel of Christ and be on guard against any other perverted doctrine. After receiving the good news of Christ, Paul is astonished that the Galatians are so quickly deserting the new covenant of grace for the old one and striving once again to obtain righteousness by works of the flesh. How does this apply to us? Let's read. Slide with Galatians 3:3, please. Thanks, Maddie. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? We can be born again Christians, beginning in the Spirit, but who then, and maybe unintentionally, try to pursue righteousness ourselves in our own efforts and works of the flesh. We'd rather trust in ourselves, continuing in what we feel is the solution, rather than trusting God and strictly adhering to His word. So often we want to shake ourselves free from the hooks like that fish, but there's only one way that they're coming out, and that's God's way. That's God's way. We're about to look at what that is and some examples shortly. Think also of the story of Lazarus in John 11, verses 43 and 44. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. He is now alive in Christ, but the grave clothes used to wrap his decaying flesh for burial still cling to his body. Do the grave clothes, the old, smelly way of living, still cling to your born-again new life in Christ? Jesus is saying it's time for the rags to come off. He loves you, but he hates the sin and doesn't want it to hurt him or you anymore. Let's let some scripture on this sink into our hearts. Next slide, please, Maddie. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It'll be up on the screen too if I'm moving too fast to be able to flick to them all. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Colossians 1:13 to 14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Does darkness have any dominion over any aspect of your lives? It's time for new clothes from Jesus' wardrobe. 1 John 1:5 to 7. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and don't live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Now let's go through this last one together. Please turn with me to Romans 13, 12 to 14. Doing well, guys. This is a lot of scripture for a Wednesday night. All right, Romans 13, 12 to 14. "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." The night is nearly over. We don't have time to be stagnant. We're called not just to live holy lives, but to reign. So how do we take off those old grave clothes that reek of decay and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness? The same way a young person stays on the path of purity, according to Psalms 119:9, by living according to God's word. I want to give you 5 steps to overcoming struggles in our lives according to God's word. So let's get into them. Now, next slide, please, with the first step. There we go. Does everyone like M's chicken nugget? Is it all right? It's great, hon. Thanks. Step number one is confess to God and repent. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My friends, God is not mad. He's already paid for every sin, past, future, and present, on the cross. I know firsthand how unworthy we can feel to approach him in the midst of our struggles, but do not let shame keep you from God. Romans 8 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we've talked a lot about this passage in Hebrews 4:15-16 recently in church. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You can be honest. You can run to God's loving and open arms. Tell him where you're stuck. Confess where you're falling short and ask him for his mercy and help to get free. Your prayers are allowed to be messy. Mine were. I came to God in utter despair many times. My prayers look like this: God, I feel so unworthy to be called a Christian. I'm so sorry for doing the things I tell you I'll never do again, over and over. I don't want to sin anymore, but I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. Please, please help me. I need you, God. You can be real, you can be raw. Come before the only one who can help. Number one is confess to God and repent. Number two is confess to others and establish accountability. Thanks, man. So James 5:16, this one's really important. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. 1 John 1:9 says, confess to God that you may be forgiven. But James 5:16 says, confess to each other that we may be healed. To God to be forgiven, but to each other to be healed. Now, it's easy to not like this verse because we don't want to be vulnerable. We want to keep it to ourselves because we don't want others seeing that side of us. James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. Now, please hear me on this because I see it all the time. And no condemnation. Guys, I stumbled, please pray for me, is only 10% of a confession. What did you say? What did you lust after? How were you prideful? Why did you lash out in rage? What website did you click on? Don't hide behind the word stumble. Shed light on the darkness every time you sin. This is where accountability becomes so powerful. When we are obedient to God's word and humble ourselves before him and others. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Ephesians 5:11-14, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Don't be afraid to invite others in. Secondly, you need community you can trust. You need each other. You need to ask someone who you know is in the faith who can help you with accountability. Women ask women, men ask men. Be wise with emotional boundaries here. Someone a little older and ahead of you in life and faith who can help you is a really wise move too. Now, who is the righteous person who can pray for you, as James 5:16 mentions? Almost. You all are. You all are the righteous people that can pray for each other. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We're righteous because Jesus has made us righteous. If you are in Christ and you've been made righteous, and God is saying that your prayers are powerful and effective and are working to heal others of sin. Isn't that amazing? Now, an accountability partner or a group has a serious responsibility that can't be taken lightly. When sin is confessed, we need to obey the word of God and pray immediately for that person, that God would heal them. Pray for them continually in your own time, but pray with them after each confession. Protect them too. Create a safe place for them to confess. That information has been shared with deep trust. We can't betray it through disappointment, ridicule, or betraying confidence. Encourage them and check in regularly. It's the ones who are persistent in confession who I see get set free. If you need help, I raise my hand on behalf of every young adult leader here at LMC. We love you and we're here for you. Two is confess your sins to others and establish accountability. Three is amputate and remove access. Matthew 5, 29 to 30, Sermon on the Mount. Feel free to turn to this one if you'd like. Matthew 5, 29 to 30. Here we go. This is Jesus speaking. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now here's the mindset I see constantly. Again, no condemnation. I don't need to cut off my right arm. I'm just going to do a heap of bicep curls and train it to get really strong so it doesn't cause me to stumble anymore. In other words, I don't need to delete Instagram. I'm just going to practice scrolling really quickly past those tempting photos that pop up and not go back to them. Those photos that cause you to lust or compare or envy. Maybe social media triggers insecurity or is addictive for you. Maybe the memes produce all sorts of coarse joking in you. If social media has caused you to stumble in the last week or month, I recommend deleting it tonight. It's not worth it. I deleted everything when I was convicted about 3 years ago, and I've never been more happy. I miss none of it. I understand you might need Facebook for birthdays or Instagram for work. Get a calendar for important dates. Look for new ways to communicate. Check your messages on your parents' phones with them present. Do what you got to do. Losing right hands and right eyes is inconvenient. But nowhere near as inconvenient as the cost of never getting free. A different example. I know that person or that group is bad company, but I'm just going to continue hanging around with them because they're not bad all the time or I've known them forever, and they wouldn't understand if I stopped, and they probably wouldn't like me anymore. Guys, cut it off. Get rid of everything that causes stumbling, even if it only happens occasionally. To return to the example of sexual temptation, do you remember in Genesis 39 where Joseph flees from Potiphar's wife? Can we just get that up next scripture, Genesis 39, please, Maddie. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. He didn't hang around. He bolted. That house was not a safe place for him because she was there. What's that house for you nowadays? Is it the internet? If it's a problem for you, you need protection and accountability software immediately. I've got it and I love it. It keeps me, my wife, and will keep our future family safe. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality, just like Joseph did. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee not to fear, but straight to God, straight to that beautiful throne of grace with confidence and ask Him for mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Run to the secret place, open the scriptures, worship the One, replace your evil desires with good habits, new clothes. Be creative. What do you need to do to be wise and protect yourself? What causes stumbling in your life? What needs to go? Make it extremely difficult for yourself to sin. Three is amputate and remove access. Four is equip the arsenal. You're going to war. Ephesians 6:12 says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So if our struggles aren't against flesh and blood, why are we continuing by means of the flesh? Our own ways. I understand that spiritual warfare can be intimidating and sound complicated, but I promise you it's not. Jesus gives us the perfect example in Matthew 4, where he is tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He says, and there should be a slide for this one, please, Maddie. Yeah, beautiful. He says, it is written, inserts truth from scripture that opposes the lie, then away from me, Satan. Just like that. Does the enemy come at you with sexual temptation? No. It is written in 1 Thessalonians that is the Lord's will that you should be sanctified, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who don't know God. Get behind me, devil. Is it condemnation? No. It is written in Romans 8 that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Away from me, Satan. Is it comparison, envy, or discontentment? It's written in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Away from me, evil one, you're finished. You're not always going to have time to go and grab a Bible. You've got to have the Bible on your heart and on your mind, ready to go at any time. Meditate, memorize, practice, learn the Word of God, and find what you need and equip your arsenal. Keep the HALT checklist in mind. Do I have a slide for that one? Beautiful. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stressed. You'll feel better on Swiss. Which of these results in temptation for you? Take a photo if you need. Strategize for these times that result in vulnerability if you haven't already. The enemy knows you well. He knows what to put on the hook and he is relentless. He knows that you're too busy at work to be distracted, but the second you get home, put your feet up and start scrolling is a great time to dangle a chicken nugget. So start learning your enemy back. Recognize where he likes to drop lures and avoid those waters. Start wielding the sword of the Spirit, the scriptures at him and watch him run. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Look, he's doing the fleeing now. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. There's probably going to be some late night warfare sessions. Maybe lustful or anxious thoughts are coming in at 3 a.m. Get up, get out of bed, raise the shield of faith just like Jesus did in the wilderness and fight the good fight. What's the shield of faith? It's what you believe. Believe the Bible. Know what God says about you so you can believe it. Then you'll know instantly which voice is the good shepherd's and which is not and needs to be taken captive. Which leads us to a verse you know well, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Taking thoughts captives means aggressively and relentlessly replacing the lies with the truth in your mind. This will be hard, but be courageous. You're a soldier fighting from victory. It's a battle already won on the cross. You're just reminding the enemy of that. Watch how long he doesn't hang around when you start wielding scriptures. He hates it. He hates it when you know you were knows who you are in Christ. He hates it when you are a threat to his kingdom. He hates being insulted by the word of God. It's one of my favorite hobbies now. You've been given authority to tread and trample. Psalms 91 and Luke 10:19. If you're the one being trampled tonight, something's wrong. Please, please reach out for help. Don't let it go on any longer. Four is equip the arsenal. The fifth and last point is seek God with all your heart. With everything you've got, run after Jesus. Pray each day for God's help and strength to sustain you in weakness and for him to transform you into his likeness. John 8:31-32. If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's only one way you're going to know the truth. You need to be in the Word every day, asking God daily to teach you. Church and young adults is great, but it's not enough. If you're not in the Word constantly, you will not know the truth, and you will not be set free. We need our minds and hearts to be transformed. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Fill your lives with the things of God, life groups, church, prayer groups, serving, Bible, fasting, prayer, devotion, podcasts, sermons, books. Allow your hearts to be set on things above, where Christ is seated, according to Colossians 3, so that your mind is so occupied with God thoughts that there is just no space or appetite even left for fleshly desires. This is what it means to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill every part of your life with Him." Last scripture I'll get you to read with me is Jeremiah 29:11-14. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." Call on Him. Pray to Him. Seek Him with all your heart. He will be found by you, and He will bring you back from captivity. He is a God that you can count on. Friends, this is my test made testimony. This is my mess made message and my past made passage. God is amazing. I was a broken man and I was lost. And now because of Jesus, I stand before you redeemed and found. After shaking and shaking for years, trying to free myself from the hooks, God met me in my weariness and my burdens. He taught me that if I would just obey Him and be still, He'd set me free. My sin had done a number on me. My heart and my mind desperately needed renewal, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to love a wife or God the way she deserved, and He deserved. But God led me out of prison, led me through deep healing in His Word, and then led me to the girl of my wildest prayers who I married earlier this year. Shout out, Em. When the Lord set me free, for the first time in my life, my burden was light. My heart was joyful and my conscience was clear. The enemy had plans to destroy me, but God had plans to give me hope and a future, and no plan of His will ever be thwarted. If you're struggling with something tonight, He's got plans for you too. My friends, you can beat these things. Freedom means that in God's divine power, He has given you everything you need for a godly life. 2 Peter 1. "You are no match for the powers of darkness and sin. In your own strength, you will not prevail. However, the powers of sin and darkness, the principalities and spiritual forces of evil are no match for Jesus. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." 1 John 4:4. I know I keep saying this, but it's so important. We need to be drawing near to God every day, in His Word every day, asking for His help every day, because there is freedom in Him and only Him. By the grace of God, if you're willing to live by His Word with all authority, you can say with regard to any struggle that the last time is behind you. It's not your future. Romans 8:29 says, "Those who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." Last slide, please, Matt. I'm not sure who by, but one of my favorite quotes, "If dependence is the goal, then weakness is the advantage." Praise be to God for these opportunities to see the end of ourselves and lean on the rock. It's like what God says to Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:12, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Don't keep weaknesses to yourselves. Boast in them, share your struggles, invite others in, and get help. Get well. and help others get well too. Make disciples. Let us not trust in self, but in God. And once you're free, take that key and go and help others out. Because there's people sitting in prisons everywhere. I hear it, I see it, I'm told constantly. People are in prisons, even in church, everywhere. I'm going to close in prayer, but afterwards there's going to be some time for personal reflection. If you're stuck tonight and would like prayer for anything, there's going to be some leaders over to the sides who would love to pray for you. There's absolutely no shame. We all fall short in so many ways, and we all need Jesus. I had a couple more notes here, but I think we've taken out a couple of stations. Not that they're stations. If you maybe just like to sit, just like to sit and worship, sit and read. Maybe you can get creative about the things you can do to amputate and remove access. Or think about who could potentially be a good accountability partner for you. Maybe jot down some things you can do and keep in mind to be better at accountability or better at being an accountability partner. You might also like to use this time to sit in scripture and find some verses you can add to your own arsenal. The leaders can help you search if you'd like to. Let's pray. I know it's not the lightest of messages, but God is so good. God, thank you for every person in this room tonight. Thank you that you know them and love them deeply. Please help us in our struggles, Lord. Help us to be obedient to your commands and humble to confess where we fall short. Please give us hearts that love what you love and hate what you hate. And please teach us to depend on you only and the sufficiency of your grace. Thank you that there's not a single sad, hopeless situation that you can't use for the good of those who love you and for the glory of your name. Please search our hearts, God, for any offensive ways. Test us, Lord. And lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you for everything. Amen. Thank you, guys. Please spend this time however you feel prompted.